The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Good afternoon, Howard. I'm good, and you, and Chag Sameach to everybody out there. I know it is Chol HaMoed, and if you are in Israel at the moment, it is crazy. But Chag Sameach to everybody out there, and Happy Easter to our listeners who don't celebrate Pesach. But Howard, it has been a very, very, very big news weekend over this Pesach Easter holiday.
Crazy. So, in fact, yesterday we played an interview that you and I had where we looked at a bit of an in-depth look at who Rolene Marks is, the Rolene Marks behind The Voice. And I do encourage any of our listeners, humani, who missed that, they can go to your afternoon Facebook page and they can download the full interview, or they can just go to the Hive M webpage and they can catch it there. It is really well worth it. If ever you wanted to hear the story of who Rolene is, go ahead and do that. But because it was a pre-record, Rolene, we couldn't talk about what happened on Friday. When I turned on my phone after the Chag, wow. I was mortified. Tell us what happened.
Well, I think that mortified is a good word, and I think that it's very important to clear up some of the misconceptions, and let's call them alternative facts that are out there. So on Friday, which was the 30th of March, Hamas initiated the first of its March of Return or Land Day protests. Now, I want to be very, very clear with our listeners. This is not a peaceful protest. The intentions behind these protests are not peaceful. What Hamas intends to do is to breach our borders and have people from Gaza flood in to Israel. This, of course, could result in untold ramifications for our civilians living in the south. And I was in the south today, and it's a very, very small, it's an area that is really a tinderbox. And they want to demographically take over the country, because we know the saying, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Now, I know that there are a lot out there who are opining that these were peaceful protests. We've heard from Jeremy Corbyn and Bernie Sanders, two people who I really wouldn't call the experts on Middle East
affairs. Yeah, we're going to get to Jeremy Corbyn in a minute, but indeed.
But and accused Israel of using excessive force. Now, basically what happened on Friday was that there were protests. Now, Hamas are not intending for people to sing Kumbaya and braid each other's hair. We've heard from Yahya Sinwar. We've heard from various other members of Hamas who have called that or stated that they want the right of return to Israel, that they will never recognize Israel, and they will not stop until they've liberated these lands from the Jews. And a small group of Palestinians moved towards the fence, throwing firebombs, throwing rocks, shooting at our soldiers, and our soldiers were forced to defend themselves, and there were 18 that have been killed and a further 700 wounded. Following on that, we do have those that were killed identified, and we do know that a large percentage of them, in fact nearly 50% of them, are Hamas militants or terrorists. And
if you think about it, the 30,000 people, whatever the final figure is, were protesting. And of the 17 that were killed, the vast majority of it was militants, or i.e. terrorists. Well, that does tell you the whole story.
Well, exactly that. But, unfortunately for Israel, Hamas has achieved what it wanted to achieve, and that is global sympathy. We've had an emergency session of the United Nations called, of course, I mean, it goes without saying, and they've got the optics that they want, which is dead Palestinians and funerals. And unfortunately, Howard, most people don't dig beneath the surface pictures to see what the facts are. But it's been a very, very difficult.
To me, Rolene, the story that epitomizes this whole event was the story of that young child who was forced towards the border hoping, I think, that that she would be killed, and so that they could turn her into a martyr. I mean, that is proper abuse of a child. Fortunately, Israel didn't harm her, captured her, and returned her to her parents. But the fact that she was used as a weapon, doesn't that symbolize everything about this protest and everything about what Hamas does in terms of shielding themselves with women and children?
Well, absolutely. And they actually demanded that any Palestinian women's groups in Gaza form the front line on Friday. Now, there were peaceful protesters. There are, you know, visuals of people sitting in tents or peacefully sitting, you know, around the border area. And that is fine. It is their right to protest. It is not their right to try and breach our border. It is the border of a country. Their area is under Hamas control. It is not okay to send in their seven-year-old little children as cannon fodder. And it is not okay to firebomb and shoot at our soldiers. Having said that, on a further investigation today, because there's a lot of investigations around the events of the last few days, one of which was allegations that that one of the protesters murdered or killed or shot, or however the media is choosing to play it out, was shot in the back as he ran away. We don't even know if that event actually happened or if it was something else. That's under investigation. But what was found today was a cache of explosives and Molotov cocktails alongside the border. So, you know, this is nothing but a veiled attempt to draw Israel into another conflagration while using words like peaceful protest.
Unsigned says abuse of a child and a war crime. Which, of course, it is.
Absolutely, a war crime.
To use a child as a weapon is absolutely appalling.
Well, absolutely, and we have to say a big thank you to Nikki Haley again, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, for blocking a Kuwaiti draft UN Security Council resolution or statement that called for an independent investigation. And of course, we hear the usual calls for the restraint. But I would want to ask France, I want to ask any other country what they would do if 30,000 people were sitting on their border waiting to run through to breach and to harm their civilians.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. It's incredible. So this investigation obviously is going to be ongoing for some time, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And we are anticipating things heating up on the border as we approach May the 14th, which is seen by some as Nakba Day or the Day of Catastrophe. And, you know, again, I want to remind our listeners that 70 years ago, or actually 71 years ago, both people had the choice to accept the partition plan and accept two lands for two people or two states for two people. And only one side accepted that, the other side choosing to go to war. And that is the real catastrophe or the real disaster right there.
And I would want to add as well, you know, so many times people tweet at me or they confront me and they say, well, if Israel just gave back the West, so-called West Bank, and if they just gave back Eastern Jerusalem, well, there would be peace. But there wasn't peace. Israel only took control of those areas in 1967. Between 1948 and 1967, Israel defended itself almost to its death because there was no peace. So why would there be peace now? It's just a very, very simple question.
Yeah, it's a lack of understanding of the facts on the ground. It's a naivety, and I think it shows an unwillingness to look at the situation or how it plays out in historical context and understand the complexities of the region that we sit in.
Absolutely right. Agreement reached with the UN Human Rights Council regarding the African asylum seekers. But then it was suspended. What is going on with this? It's not a good deal, Bibi.
It's not looking good for Bibi, and as of the last couple of hours, he has overturned this. And there's a number of variables that he's using. You know, a lot of us were very, very proud and very, very happy yesterday that this agreement was reached with the UN High Command for Refugees. We were happy to hear that the refugees would be possibly resettled in other Western countries. Now, I don't know if he jumped the gun a bit, but apparently some of the countries that he spoke about in this agreement, Italy and Germany being two of them, had not agreed to anything yet. And it's apparently not up to Israel to decide who these countries would be, but for the UN Human Rights Council. Also on top of that, we've got the right-wing element in our government, in the coalition, who were not happy with the agreement going forward. They say that it's the allowing of some 16,000 refugees or asylum seekers to stay in Israel was too much of a capitulation. And you know, we've heard from elements like Education Minister Naftali Bennett, who leads Habayit Yehudi, saying that, you know, the agreement with the United Nations to absorb the infiltrators is bad for Israel. It's not enough to freeze it. The Prime Minister must cancel it entirely. So it's created, as you can imagine, huge uproar here in Israel. A lot of us are very, very upset that this agreement, which was very, very humane, very, very much long in coming to its conclusion, was overturned because of these variables. You know, we can understand if there were countries that didn't agree. But what worries us, and I have to be honest and I have to put it out there, is again what we see as elements within our government, within society, having an absolute stranglehold on governmental decisions. And this is, and I know some of our listeners don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. It's a growing concern for a lot of Israelis there in the country.
You can't have a situation that the Prime Minister makes a statement, reaches an agreement, and then gets placed under pressure by certain elements, no matter who they are, in the community, in society, and then he changes his mind again. It creates tremendous instability.
It does create a tremendous instability. And, you know, we've been discussing, Howard, you and I, over the last, I think, couple of months, you know, is it time maybe for Bibi to go? Are there good enough successes? What are the concerns for Israeli society moving forward? We've covered a lot with the military draft laws and, again, the capitulation to certain elements within society. And it doesn't just show instability of our government, but it puts a tremendous strain on Israeli society. And we cannot have this kind of tangoing or maneuvering by the government. And I understand it's not easy for many of our listeners to hear that, but, you know, I have to bring you the Israel report. I have to bring you the truth about the situation on the ground here and about how people in Israel feel.
Absolutely right. The bit of good news, unsigned listener also referring to it, but the Saudi Crown Prince has recognized Israel's right to exist. I think we spoke about this either last week, probably 2 weeks ago, where we spoke about the fact that he shouldn't be rushed. He's definitely moving in this direction. Well, it happened. He did.
Howard, I'm telling you, he listens to us, and he said, you know what, guys, I know you don't think it should be rushed, but I'm going to put a statement out anyway. So this is absolutely incredible. And in the Middle East, things are very, very definitely interconnected. And I think that the movement that we're seeing from the Saudis, and in particular Prince Mohammed bin Salman, also plays out in what we are seeing happening in Gaza, because the more overtures the Saudis make towards us, the more concern the region shows towards the power of Iran, the less the Palestinians feature on or in global consciousness or on the global agenda. And that is why we are seeing a lot of the reason why we are having these protests along the Gaza border. But this is monumental. For the first time in our 70 years, we have heard from a Saudi official, and not just any Saudi official, the Crown Prince, saying that each people anywhere has a right to live in their peaceful nation. And he was saying, I believe the Palestinians each have a right to live in their land. He says, our country doesn't have a problem with Jews. And he said that he recognizes the existence of the State of Israel. And he spoke
about it. It's incredible. I'm just not sure how, if people realize how massive this is. I think it would have been inconceivable some years back.
I think even a year ago, if you had to have said, this is what we will be seeing with the Saudis, I think you and I would have been laughing hysterically, saying, you know, this is, you know, what next? Leprechauns and tooth fairy. Wait, I better not comment on anything with regards to the tooth fairy. But he goes on, he says that our economy is huge compared to our size and it's growing. And he says there are a lot of interests that Saudi shares with Israel. And if there is peace, there would be a lot of interest between Israel and the Gulf Cooperation Council countries and countries like Egypt and Jordan. Now, we know we have peace with Egypt and Jordan, and we have a lot of mutual cooperation, including economic. So this is very, very, very positive rhetoric indeed. And he also went on to say that the Ayatollah, Ali Khamenei, who's the head of the regime in Tehran, is so evil, he makes Hitler look good. So here again, he's also speaking the language that our government wants to hear, in that he recognizes the major threat that Iran poses.
What's interesting to me is, or what's relevant to me, is that when people start to say things within a group that used to be outrageous, slowly it changes people's minds. So when suddenly Saudi Arabia is saying, hold on a minute, actually, Israel does have the right to exist and it does have the right to defend itself, then slowly that type of language takes root in other societies or other countries within that region. It's an absolutely enormous, enormous step that has just happened. I see it as a complete miracle.
It is a complete miracle. We are in the season of miracle. We are in the month of Nisan, the month of miracles. And here we have it, Howard, the Saudis, who'd have thunk it? But it has happened, and the Crown Prince has recognized our right to exist.
Interesting character he is. Ansan said the root of the problem is that many people believe that Jews are not allowed their own country. Indeed, that is true. Maggie B says, "Hi, Howard, to quote the late Golda Meir, until the Arabs love their children more than they hate the Jews, there shall never be peace." And of course, we do know that that well-known saying. I'm assuming she's referring to the incident of that. Was a child 7 years old, really?
The child was 7 years old, and there were pictures, a lot of pictures of this child being carried over the border to, you know, I don't know from their side if this was symbolic that the future generations will, you know, burst through the borders. You know, they're very, very fond of optics, Hamas are, but at the end of the day, this is gross human rights abuse. This is a war crime, and it is child abuse, quite plain and simple.
Yeah, somebody else saying, poor, innocent, gentle Israel, give me a break. Give me a break, yeah. So I think they're saying, and they don't like, I'm not sure what it's saying. Perhaps they're suggesting that Israel's being played as the victim here. But actually, Israel is the victim here. You know, when a country's attacked from another country, and let's just recap a little bit. The Gaza area is bordered both by Israel and by Egypt. So it is certainly no prison. The border to Gaza only was closed between Israel and Gaza when Hamas, a terrorist organization, took over and made it very, very clear that they were intent on doing as much damage to Israel as possible. Egypt closed the border because of Hamas's behavior and terrorist activities. So we do need to understand. And by the way, with all the money that's coming to Gaza, that Gaza could have been Dubai. It is no smaller than the area of Dubai, or maybe only marginally smaller. Certainly the opportunity was there, but instead the money's gone in to terror and underground terror tunnels and military wear designed only to attack another country and not to build its own people. So actually it's not really poor, only innocent Israel. It's also poor, innocent people of Gaza and Palestinians.
Absolutely.
Who are being abused on a daily basis, being deprived education and medical care and homes and everything else that they should be having access to, because there's much funding allowed for it. But unfortunately, they're being ruled by Hamas. And if the world actually cared, really cared about the Palestinians, that's where the pressure would be. It would not be on a country that all they're trying to do is live in.
Well, I invite whoever sent that SMS in, did the person sign their name?
No, unfortunately not.
It's unsigned. Oh, how unfortunate. But I would invite them to come to Israel and see the situation for themselves. I was in the south this morning. I drove past Sderot, which is the most bunkered little city in the world. I drove down stretches of land where there are bomb shelters every couple of meters, because people who are working in the fields or children at school or people on their way to work need to run for safety, and they only have 15 seconds to do so should a rocket be fired from Hamas and their entities into Israel. And poor little Israel, I mean, we're always the victim, but when one has a genocidal charter such as Hamas has, and they swear to the destruction of Israel, you know, one really has to wonder what their intentions are. But please, by all means, you know, if you want to make those statements, which is absolutely all right, and you're very welcome, I would really encourage you to come and visit and see the situation for yourself.
That's why we can have the conversation. Rolene Marks there, unfortunately, we do have to leave it. I hope you have a fantastic evening ahead. We'll chat to you tomorrow. Time is 1 minute to 6 o'clock. This Israel report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. I'm going to say goodbye just before we play the Blue Agency ad. Sasha Starr will have the news, and I'll be back with you 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock tomorrow, again broadcasting from the Velmore Hotel. Hope you enjoyed this outside broadcast. Have a fantastic evening. Amoed Tov. Enjoy the festival of Passover, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.